It's Thursday, so we'll take a few minutes to read from your comments, and we'll start with your responses to our coverage of gay marriage.
My interview with John Crabtree Ireland, one of the thousands married at San Francisco City Hall, brought this from Dr. Dan Sneed of Columbia, Tennessee. I was shocked and saddened by the enthusiasm with which Ms. Norris covered the chaotic proceedings surrounding the rush to legitimize gay unions in San Francisco, listening as she provided a public forum for the recent husband to gush about his newfound joy and new husband. I rhetorically wondered when the country's overwhelmingly contrary opinion would be aired so freely on NPR.
Kim Hunter of Detroit had an entirely different reaction to the same conversation. She writes, "It was an absolute joy to hear about couples lining up to publicly announce their love for one another." She concludes, "Life is short and love is rare."
Joe Leconte's commentary that the government will be forced to take a side in the religious debate around gay marriage prompted this response from Marcy Feller of New York City. She writes that Leconte's point of view is antithetical to the principle of separation of church and state. All marriage licenses are evidence of a civil union only. Sanctity of a marriage is a religious concept relevant to unions consecrated by the various religious institutions. Perhaps the answer is to legislate civil unions for all, both straight and gay couples.
John Itstey's report about the sharp rise in Social Security disability claims brought in these comments.
Physician and attorney Clark Newhall of Salt Lake City writes, "Your suggestion that medical care coverage has much to do with Social Security disability growth is entirely accurate. The irony of this system is that those who are seeking Social Security disability because they lack health care coverage could usually have continued to work if treated properly and earlier for their disability." He continues, "Until we delink health insurance from employment, we will continue to suffer the social and economic consequences of a large population of non-working disabled individuals who cannot escape from the social safety net that has become a trap for them."
Another assessment from John Hancock of Bettendorf, Iowa, who says he's currently receiving disability payments. He writes, "John Itstey painted a portrait of disability recipients being freeloaders at worst or desperate people seeking insurance benefits at best. The report also gave the impression that the vetting process is a simple one, easily manipulated for personal benefit. Mr. Itstey has obviously never had to apply for disability."
Karen Wyman of Port Townsend, Washington, had this to say about Jackie Lydon's account of an Iraqi translator's return home. "What a magnificent piece of journalism. I stood still in my kitchen, unable to continue my dinner preparations. Jackie Lydon did such a good job of letting the story tell itself and letting Esho Joseph tell his story. It helps a Western mind glimpse the true Iraqi experience, not easy to do given the cultural differences."
Praise, too, for Walter Cronkite's recollections of newsman Eric Severide. "Cronkite has surely said it all, succinctly, without embellishment or pretense," writes Fred Holmes of Birmingham, Alabama. "I was reared in a household reverent of critical thinking, insightful analysis, and unpretentious expression. Mr. Severide's contribution to our discussions was an important part of my youth, early adulthood, and maturity."
And this from David McFarlane of Weston, Connecticut. "Thank you, Mr. Cronkite, for giving words to the thoughts and feelings I have when I compare TV now with what it was when I would watch you and your colleagues."
You can share your thoughts and feelings if you like. Our email address is atc@npr.org. And please tell us where you live and how to pronounce your name.